Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Tonight, Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you plus this great nation. Hey, coming up, we talk to Luke Vargas, who has more details about the Iranian nuclear deal, some of the next steps, what's going to happen with the UN Security Council, and also the Greek Parliament and some of the nonsense from the IMF releasing a new assessment of the Greek economy, which basically says that the bailout doesn't fix its problems. So, hey, here's the bailout money, but guess what? It's not going to fix all the problems. So, you know, it's pretty interesting. And he's at the UN in New York, so we'll chat with Luke coming up around the bend. Also, we're going to talk with a mom entrepreneur. How do you raise kids and how do you raise up a business at the same time? Some interesting questions. There are certainly in the past and certainly since the dawn of time, because of being widowed or because of divorce or whatever, the women have raised children as single moms. We're talking about moms who have husbands, who are working women, you know, who are working women, and others too who find themselves in a situation where, hey, they want the best for their kids and they're juggling a couple of jobs, and some of that now has transcended the business world because you have a lot of women entrepreneurs who are really starting to kill it, who are really starting to make it, which I think is fantastic. All right, some odds and ends at the top of the show as we kick things off. And, you know, it's so much of the focus has been on this Iranian deal, and I mentioned this briefly in our last show, but, I mean, here we go again with Mother Nature. It wouldn't be America tonight if we weren't talking about some horrific weather condition that happened, and it's not a condition, it's a flood. It's victims. They're looking for people. And when I got on the plane the other day from Washington, the plane was delayed, and there were delays all over the place, and it was because of the weather in Kentucky and in that region. You had such rushing water. Someone painted a picture of me, and I read this somewhere on one of the websites, it might have been MSN or somewhere, and this really did hit home for me, where they talk about the story of a guy who had his grandmother on his back, 74-year-old grandmother, and the water is just rushing all around them to try to, because of this flash flood, to just try to save the family. And already he had saved his father, his uncle, and his sister, too. And it was one of those rural towns in Kentucky, Flat Gap was the name of it. And, you know, these were people who were living in trailers, and the flood just ravaged their neighborhood. And, oh, my gosh, I mean, just out of control. And it wasn't only there. You see the debris, and you see cars that don't look like cars. You see houses that are just sticks. You see just a portrait of desperation, in a sense, because people, you know, when something like that happens to you, which can you imagine, you got to get it together, and they are, and they're, again, very strong people, but their life has been uprooted. Their life's been uprooted, so they're trying to find people, they're trying to help people. The flood washed away rural roads, there were fallen trees and debris everywhere, so to try to even get to homes to find out who survived has been really, really tough. They've used helicopters and rescuers from every place they could possibly find them to get around this road situation and to get to as many people as possible. What a sad, sad thing. And boy, we have seen this with floods. We saw this in Texas and a little bit in Oklahoma and a little bit in Arkansas too, just a couple of months ago, how awful it was with the amount of rain. And this is a really fast moving storm. I mean, it was a really, really fast moving storm that created this situation. Just a, again, a terrible, terrible situation. Somebody brought this up, and I think it was Grimm. He made the comment about, he was talking about how much he loves space, and I like space. I'm a novice because I don't have a lot of time to dedicate to a lot of stories on space, but we certainly have had Rod Pylon. We've had former astronauts on this show. We've had a lot of people that are about the space industry or about what's the next frontier and that kind of stuff. And it's funny, we briefly mentioned Pluto, and I got a ton of emails on this, and I found that fascinating. There are some of you out there interested in planets. And so NASA's New Horizons spacecraft basically, as they say, called home on Tuesday, and they reported that it had made it to Pluto and beyond after crossing the solar system, check this out, for 9.5 years. That's the significance of this. That's the wow number. 9.5 years. So you got to think of the people in this mission, the NASA mission, who put all that time into it. Think of a decade of your life, basically. They built it. They put it in space. It's a robotic probe. And then it sends a brief, tiny, tiny stream of data right before 9 o'clock, confirming that they had survived, that it had survived, because not with people, it had survived the close pass of the dwarf planet Pluto. How cool is that? I mean, just think about that for a second. Let's step back for a second and think about that. Wow. What an image. I mean, it's not this kind of tiny ball of ice. And I remember in school being taught that. You know, you looked at the planets. What's up? Memorize the planets. Remember, you had to memorize them. Well, okay, what order? And that's what Pluto was to me, and I'm sure to many of you, just this kind of ugly-looking ball. And you heard it was freezing, and you couldn't possibly. There's nothing on Pluto. But instead it showed that it's got snow fields and structures that look like cliffs and even fault lines and kind of this, as they described the data from New Horizons, this sort of heart-shaped area that could be, they say, the remnant of a giant impact crater. So all the people involved, giving a decade of their life, were just, you know, they had this countdown clock and it ticked to zero, and they just celebrated and got hysterical over this. And I think it's just the coolest story. I mean, when you think about the spacecraft, and the closest approach to Pluto's surface is about, they say, 7,750 miles. Wow. Very, very cool. All right, not so cool. Quickly, I'll say this because I also got an email from Hal about this. He said, Kate, did you hear the thing about Uber? I take Uber a lot, meaning the settlement in this wrongful death suit. There was a fatal accident just a couple of years ago, and this is when people started to look at Uber a little bit differently. People in a lot of big cities in this country and other places in the world take Uber, and this wrongful death suit was with a family of a six-year-old girl who was struck and killed by an Uber X driver on New Year's Eve. So the family reached an agreement with Uber, but they're not releasing very many of the details. And we're talking about the six-year-old girl. So Sophia Liu was killed, and this was in San Francisco. Her mother and brother were also hit but survived the crash. At the time of the accident, the driver was logged into Uber's smartphone app and able to pick up, you know, receive pickup requests, despite the fact that Uber initially was saying, is what I heard, that the driver was not providing services on the Uber system at the time of the accident. Apparently it was. So you can imagine, this goes to that whole phone thing again. And so the tragedy for the Liu family, especially a six-year-old girl, but they reach a settlement. And you can imagine now some of the rules probably have changed for Uber. All right, hang with us. Coming up next, around the bend, we're going to talk to Luke Vargas live from the UN right here on America Tonight.
Have you ever wondered if you could make electric, light, or heat in your home for free? How about a motor that charges batteries at the same time? What if this also restores useless batteries and saves you lots of money? Come to our Renaissance Charge Conference Workshop on August 15th and 16th in Fort Lauderdale. Visit r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com for details. Or call 208-304-2954. 208-304-2954.
You are an individual with your own thoughts, decisions, and actions. So why should you be penalized for not enrolling in the subpar health insurance mandated by the government when you can be truly independent with Liberty HealthShare, a bold, innovative alternative allowing you to take back control and make your own decisions about your health care? Mention this ad when you call to learn more. 800-714-6993. That's 800-714-6993. Liberty HealthShare. Together, we are one.
It's very easy to be a criminal. All you need to burglarize a home is one simple household tool, a pair of scissors. If your home security system can be compromised by a criminal using scissors, then you're making it easy for them. Almost every home security system, even those sold by big name companies, has a weakness: the phone line. You shell out $1,500, get locked into a long-term contract, and think you're safe. But a burglar can destroy your alarm in seconds with one snip. And when a burglar cuts your phone line, you're defenseless. SimpliSafe Home Security is the smarter choice. Built by Harvard engineers, SimpliSafe uses a wireless connection to call the cops. Scissors can't cut it, and that means your home stays safe. 24/7 professional monitoring is under $15 a month with no contract. SimpliSafe Home Security keeps you safer than the other guys for half the cost. Protect your home with the alarm you can trust. SimpliSafe. Go to SimpliSafeDefense.com now for an exclusive 10% offer. That's SimpliSafeDefense.com.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Our leadoff man this time around, always fun to talk to Luke Vargas, and so much is happening with the UN and certainly internationally. We're seeing big stories that are popping that we've been talking about for a long time here on America Tonight, including what's going on in Greece, etc. But the big thing really still is, and I just came back from Washington, is this Iranian nuclear deal, the reaction to it, what the agreement's about, and some of the details, things that are out there in the ether that are starting to be pieced apart, I suppose. Not in the ether for everybody that was at the table, but for everybody else who's trying to go through the agreement. Luke Vargas joins us live from the UN. Hey, Luke, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, thanks. I'm really happy to be back on after an extended absence, as you pointed out.
There you go. We're happy to have you on. So the Iran nuclear deal, there were all those false starts and delays and everything else. Is this, as some of the things have been written before we get into other things about it, is this really the legacy? Is this a legacy piece for the Prez? I mean, I think he said, well, after he was being barraged with negative questions, I think he was saying, we'll see what happens. Time will tell.
Yeah, I mean, I think no doubt this is a legacy item. That's why I think many in the journalistic community didn't really take the threat seriously from John Kerry in the White House last week, that there was a willingness to sort of walk away from the table if there was continued impasse on various issues. Look, you don't expend 23 months of negotiating time on a deal that you don't want very badly. And look, I think there, as we, you know, begin to really parse this deal, I think there are a lot of provisions in here, which I think do stand the test of time, or at least are flexible enough by design that they have a good chance of standing up. And the one I really wanted just to highlight, without being prompted by you for sort of what I think the best parts of the deal are, but I think an important thing to highlight is something that's called the Joint Commission. It's not really being talked about all that much, but it addresses perhaps one of the most difficult challenges that the negotiators faced here, which is how do you create some sort of mechanism to snap back sanctions retroactively if, let's say, down the line, Iran is deemed to be in noncompliance with this deal. I mean, there really is no precedent in this area. There hasn't been a high-stakes negotiation on really any issue where you'd need to do this, particularly when we're dealing with international law or UN sanctions. This, you know, it's one thing to have maybe a congressional law that would do this, but this is a big, robust international mechanism. And what they've done here is created an 8-member panel. So this is the P5 plus one, the negotiating countries, plus Iran, and then they've thrown in the European Union as well, probably Federica Mogherini or someone like her. And if this commission is right at the center of issues of noncompliance, so if someone alleges Iran to be violating this deal, this commission would get a crack at it first to be able to judge in the sort of merits of that allegation. It's brilliant. What they've done is say you only need 5 of these 8 countries to reach agreement in order for them to, make a policy recommendation and sort of judge noncompliance. That's important because it was, you know, the big sort of existential fear here was that, oh, look, despite the fact that maybe U.S.-Russia tensions didn't sink these talks or that Chinese opposition didn't scuttle in the agreement in Vienna, that it could down the line, that if relations further sour and we see some sort of aligning of the stars against us where Russia and China both are backing Iran on a violation, that they could really, you know, prevent any sort of inspections or any sort of retroactive punishment. So by making, you know, being able to isolate those 3, this I think is a mechanism that may be able to last and will withstand even a uniting of Russia, China, and Iran against, you know, let's say the United States down the line.
All right, so that's great information. The Joint Commission, that answers a lot of questions. What are the actual next steps that happen now that this deal has gone through?
It's going to the United Nations Security Council probably as early as next Tuesday. You know, this is much faster than we usually see resolutions come about at the UN, but that was by design. I mean, it is the permanent 5 members of the Security Council that were responsible for drafting this agreement. And we were told that in addition to this sort of 80-page text that we all saw yesterday, that they had also completed a UN Security Council resolution, you know, behind the scenes as well. So there's not even a need really, though I'm sure some tinkering is going on, there's not a need to, you know, go back to the drafting table and work on the language of a UN text. So this will be dropped into the Security Council probably as early as next week. And we're told that there would likely be a vote to endorse this deal by the end of the month. I would guess this will see at least John Kerry and his Iranian counterpart come to the United Nations. It's kind of exciting to think that this issue is going to reside within the UN for quite some time, but that will happen. And when that happens, you know, I've been being asked about congressional opposition and the like. I just don't even see where that factors in. I mean, this will already be an element of international law by the end of the month, likely. And so this notion that, you know, even, the most convincing arguments from Isaac Herzog of Israel coming to Congress could scuttle this, I just see it being very unlikely that once this is already enshrined at the UN and in international law, that this would be peeled back. But again, I suppose it's a possibility, but the UN timeline moves forward very quickly. And I'm, I think, again, that's by design.
So we move from that and watching it and seeing what happens by the end of the month to, speaking of votes, the Greek parliament, huge, voting today on this bailout, this EU bailout. How does this all roll out?
Well, you know, we've heard from the Syriza committee, the ruling party committee, about half of them say they oppose this deal. I'll point out it's one thing to be on the committee. These are not members of parliament, and to sort of object to this on principle. You're not seeing the same breakdown of opposition to this among the Syriza legislators. So, again, there will certainly be a substantial number of votes against this deal in the parliament. You've got, you know, sort of a maybe not the prettiest coalition of parties, including the neo-Nazi Golden Dawn Party and the Greek Communists backing the Syriza ruling party here. But it does look like the centrists and the sort of pro-European voters in the Greek parliament will probably be able to get this passed through. I think what's interesting is what we saw in the overnight hours, which was a new assessment by the IMF of Greece. You know, it's, I think, a little astonishing and perhaps disappointing that this assessment was only published well after, I think, the make or break point for a deal. There's no chance, I don't think, and Greek legislators know this. You can't reject this deal today and then hope that European leaders are going to be more lenient. That referendum and that sort of line of thinking, that game of, you know, game of negotiations, I think is over. But this is a bad assessment as we start to look down the line. You have the IMF here saying, look, you have all these underlying assumptions about this tremendous kind of growth that Greece is going to be able to achieve. They're assumed, this is a quote here, they're assumed to go from the lowest to among the highest productivity growth and workforce participation rates in the European Union. That's really unlikely. I mean, the sort of structural problems in Greece are so massive. And I don't see, frankly, how even some of the reforms that are being called for here, pension reform or broadening the tax base, are going to be able to achieve those sorts of incredible, really unprecedented gains in labor participation or productivity. And then their final recommendation is, I think, the saddest thing here, which is that they say, look, you really ought to give Greece at least a 30-year grace period to repay its European loans. And that's not on the table at all. The final two sentences in this bailout agreement, you know, say that Greece unconditionally pledges to pay back in full all of its commitments and that there is no option of giving them a haircut on their debt. So, again, here's a policy document that, you know, we should probably print out and staple or tape next to our desks, because this is much more likely going to be the reality that Greece faces, not this sort of rosy projection, I think, that the European leaders have, you know, sort of forced them to sign up to.
Yeah, and so what's the deal on that? As you said, that was so significant, releasing that assessment. It was almost like they were playing cat and mouse with it. I mean, why? Why didn't they release it?
I mean, I think it also looks bad. I can't explain the timing.
Sure.
It's a little embarrassing because they had released a similar assessment right before the referendum, and these are the same IMF economists, presumably, the same department generating this report. And their numbers were way different. I mean, they have, again, I haven't calculated exactly what the percentage, you know, is that they missed their previous estimates by, but these are substantial revisions to their own data. So, look, maybe they are the voice of wisdom here. Maybe this is the sort of, the foresight that, is going to be, you know, really seen in the coming years. But again, I'm unsure really why this all unfolded the way it did, and I wish I had more answers. Maybe someone will press the IMF to explain that, but again, really strange timing and strange to see them really miss the mark so much in their own projections just 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, Luke Vargas, as always a pleasure. Thanks so much. Great information live from the UN.
Thank you. Take care.
More next here on America Tonight.
Spend your life with this Dentovite.
Hey, neighbor, what are you doing digging? You had a heart attack last year.
Oh, I know. I was told no more hard labor.
Then why are you digging?
Well, I've been taking Extendivite. It's been approved to help my heart.
Extendivite? Is that a new drug?
No, not a drug. It's more like an herbal combination made from garlic and cayenne.
Herbal? How can that help?
Well, actually, we've taken herbs for thousands of years. Extendivite is doing the job for me.
Does your doctor know about Extendivite?
Yeah, my doctor knows, and he said it seems to be working for you, so don't stop taking it. I feel great taking Extendivite. I don't want to stop.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We are America's largest independently owned communications network, GCN.
Hi, my name is Scott Fuchs, teacher and rowing coach for over 14 years. I was sluggish, overweight, on prescription drugs, and only 30-something. Fortunately, I was referred to Dr. Z, and happy to say Dr. Z's all-natural protocols over a consistent course resolved my health issues. I'm in the best shape of my life, and most importantly, on zero medications.
I'm Dr. Zdanowski, author of Evology, trained as a primary care physician, surgical manipulation under anesthesia, expert in nutrition, diet, weight loss, immune system, and I specialize in chiropractic. My 15 years of professional experience has taught me the four keys to vibrant health: a balanced musculoskeletal system, an integrated nervous system, a flowing lymphatic system, and a body filled with over 90 essential nutrients. This has been a secret too long. Actualize your potential, reverse disease. Call me, Dr. Z. 201-945-1177, 201-945-1177, evolveyourself.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth slide into a recession or, at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common-sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Many are in disbelief today after word of shocking allegations against a Minnesota-based talk syndication company known as GCN. It's claimed that they're the fourth largest talk syndication company in the U.S., making it even more scandalous that they've been accused of helping business owners expose themselves on a massive scale. Let's go live to Tom for more on this story.
It's being called the greatest exposure of our lifetime, while other business owners are beginning to step forward claiming they, too, exposed themselves with the help of GCN.
It's true. They're all guilty. Every last one of them. GCN helped me get the exposure my company needed, and just think, that was years ago. Today, GCN has like 700 affiliate stations and over 6 million downloads from iTunes and their website every month.
Imagine the exposure your company can get.
Expose your business to the masses. Email advertise at GCNlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective. GCN.
All I am is the man. I want the world in my hands. I hate the beach, but I stand in California with my toes in the sand.
Welcome back to America Tonight. In this edition of It's Your Business, very excited to welcome, she's in our virtual green room right now, probably not sweating it out, I'll explain that, Kendra Dorsam is with us, and she is a full-time mom and founder of No Sweat Life. I love that, No Sweat Life. And it's all about being, and I talk to entrepreneurs all the time, and I love love entrepreneurial moms, and because I think it's, and my mom was that way. I think we learned, my brother Patrick and I learned some fabulous lessons from her, and there are a lot of women that are teaching their kids some valuable things, especially as we move into kind of a different world. If anything, small businesses are growing and entrepreneurism is flourishing. We see that from Shark Tank and from all kinds of things that are happening, which I think, frankly, are incredibly exciting. Kendra, thanks for hanging with us here on ATN.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Kate.
So yeah, I like that reaction in the background. That was good. I just I love that. And see, that's the cool thing. So what is it now? Am I right about that? Are you seeing that among your own friends, or you probably hear stories all the time? Are we seeing more women go into an entrepreneurial endeavor?
You look at the cover couple months back of Newsweek, I think it was, where they talked about, highly educated postgraduate women leaving more traditional work roles because out of choice. And I think, you know, entrepreneurialism in a lot of ways is an attractive alternative because it does have some of the built-in flexibility. It presents, obviously, a different set of challenges and opportunities, but for sure, I mean, I think I'm seeing a lot of, you know, moms and women choosing something that provides them a little bit more flexibility, so...
Yeah, and that's a good thing. And it's funny, if you have your own business, if you own your own business, which I mentioned I saw that from my mother, is it the right thing to do? Is it a good idea to hire the kids? Let them see how they can handle the responsibility. Is that a good thing to pursue? And what are the tricky areas of navigating that?
Well, now I should add a major caveat going in. My kids are still grade school age. So
right.
Perspective may change, but, you know, I think it's a bit of a double-edged sword. On the one hand, it's very beneficial to the kids of entrepreneurs to see and hear the discussions that go on about and the worldview that things are an opportunity and a risk and the rest of it. Now, marching them into your own environment and giving them sort of a pre-prescribed role for how to do things may seem a little bit like a little too easy on one hand, but I think that there are ways to encourage them to do things on their own as well, entrepreneurial type work, even at a young age, that doesn't necessarily have to be in your own business.
Yeah, and I would imagine with kids, because as you know this, it's about the buy-in and I think the fun and whatnot. Are there games that you can create that kids can sort of play that would show some of those lessons of being an entrepreneur?
Well, you know, we, for example, often talk about, oh, wouldn't it be a great summer job to do X, Y, Z, something mm-hmm. that is age appropriate for them, and that they can get a sense of accomplishment out of. I think, you know, even very young kids forever have loved having lemonade stands or whatever
yes.
it is,
uh-huh.
You know, because really, from an entrepreneurial spirit perspective, you want them to get the charge out of feeling a sense of accomplishment in having done something themselves that they think is ingenious and that they sort of see through as well. So.
Yeah, I agree with you. Absolutely. We're speaking with Kendra Dorsam, and she is a full-time mom and founder of No Sweat Life. So tell us about No Sweat Life. Tell us about your brand.
Well, it started out of my love and practice of yoga, and our first product really was a eco-friendly laundry detergent to get the musty odors out of sporting equipment caused by bacteria. So it's obviously ubiquitous across a lot of different sports, anybody really who works up the sweat. And then we really, from there, branched off into other products that also have an eco focus, but our performance offer, you know, unparalleled and excellent performance. So the brand values really grew up around my own priorities, and it's, you know, it's been amazing to be able to work at something that I also really enjoy. So.
Yeah, and see, there's the key thing. I say this all the time to people. It's when someone tells you, hey, I have a great idea. Oh, you can make millions of dollars doing this. It's sometimes that is a kind of a false sense of where you can go with something. It's when you have passion about it that you really see things start to thrive around you, or you enjoy what you love doing. And since yoga is your bag, this is a great question. What's yoga like for kids? I mean, I would imagine that could be a really calming thing for children, plus the incredible benefits of exercise, that yoga offers. Do you find that?
Yeah, and really, I mean, I think that that has been a key takeaway over and above. It's been great for my own mental entrepreneurial development, but also for something that I would really like to pass along to my kids. And really, that's a mindfulness that comes, yes, from yoga, but also from dance and martial arts and anything really that is a combination of physical and detail-focused mental practice. And, you know, if your kids love yoga, that's great, but it also, I think, can be developed through a multitude of other activities that are more individual sports that focus on attention to detail and really your brain mind-body development.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I just said this to you, and you said it yourself about being able to do what you love to do, and I sort of touched on this, but it's, which way is it? Is it better to teach your kids the virtues of hard work or the virtues of doing work that you love? There's the million-dollar question.
You know, and I'd love to have it both ways.
Yeah.
You know, I think you kind of have to try to instill, and obviously my jury of three is still out, and they'll get back to you in, you know, 20 years to let you know how well I've done. But, you know, they have to love, hopefully you can provide them the space, and that's something certainly that's a key tenet of yoga is to sort of par back. We live in a world where people feel, certainly my peers feel, like they have to put their kids into every single sport and, you know, music lesson and whatever else available so that their child doesn't lag behind. And really, I think what you need to be able to develop that love and creativity is space and time, benefit of time to just let yourself process what it is that you do love. So we try and par back some of the activities, and there's, you know, a level of confidence that the kids and you as a parent need to be able to say, you know, that's okay. They don't have to be in everything, even if they may not keep lockstep with all of their peers in every single activity. So I think, you know, that's a really important part. But then also teaching the value of hard work, because there's lots of people who have great ideas, and really at the end of the day you can have a wonderful idea, but you need to be able to execute on it as well. And that's just lots of legwork when you're starting your own business. It certainly normally doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah, that's so true, because it's so easy to give up, throw up your hands and say, oh, I can't do this. I need to do a more traditional route. And usually when you find out the stories of a super, even they're super successful, wherever they are, entrepreneur, you find out what really went into what they had to do to make that happen. So what's next for No Sweat Life? What do you hope to do with your brand? Because you have fitness products. What would you like to jump into next?
Yeah. Well, our detergent really is the right now the main product in the lineup, and so we're launching that into grocery, which makes it more accessible for customers, but also is a bigger market for us. And then, we're trying to identify additional opportunities, but you know, categories that are also not oversaturated. So we love yoga, and we'll obviously continue to be working in that area, but also looking at additional sports-specific cleaning products, like a treatment for yellowing underarm stains caused by sunscreen and so forth that you see in a lot of tennis environments, et cetera. So lots of plans in the works right now.
I love that. Send me that product. I play tennis. Send me that product when you get that done, because I see it everywhere. Even with the women who are awesome at keeping their stuff really nice, sometimes, you know, you like that outfit, you don't realize, whoa, what happened under this arm? Crazy. Kendra Dorsham, what a delight, founder and president of No Sweat Life. Thanks for jumping on with us.
Thanks so much for having me, Kate. Oh.
Genesis is defined as an origin, creation, or the beginning. Genesis Communications Network began with the mission of providing you with the kind of compelling content you're listening to now. And at GCNLive.com, you'll find a free archive of our nation's history, narrated by GCN hosts. Explore, share, and pass down to future generations. GCN is the future of talk radio, but we should always strive to learn from our past. Together, we are GCNLive.com. GCN.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
It's very easy to be a criminal. All you need to burglarize a home is one simple household tool, a pair of scissors. If your home security system can be compromised by a criminal using scissors, then you're making it easy for them. Almost every home security system, even those sold by big name companies, has a weakness: the phone line. You shell out $1,500, get locked into a long-term contract, and think you're safe. But a burglar can destroy your alarm in seconds with one snip. And when a burglar cuts your phone line, you're defenseless. Simply Safe Home Security is the smarter choice. Built by Harvard engineers, Simply Safe uses a wireless connection to call the cops. Scissors can't cut it, and that means your home stays safe. 24/7 professional monitoring is under $15 a month with no contract. Simply Safe Home Security keeps you safer than the other guys for half the cost. Protect your home with the alarm you can trust. Simply Safe. Go to simplysafedefense.com now for an exclusive 10% offer. That's simplysafedefense.com.
Healthy elimination is essential to high energy, a cheerful mood, and prevention of disease. Some of the founders of our modern holistic health thinking state that disease begins in a toxic colon. The toxic intestinal tract is the foundation for virtually all degenerative disease, and a clean and well-moving intestinal tract is the foundation of health.
I just want to say that you folks have an amazing product. I've taken whey protein products for years, and I've never noticed results I have with your product. I've suffered with constipation most of my life. Within a few days of taking One World Whey, I noticed a dramatic change. Also, in the past 2 years, I've experienced symptoms associated with diabetes. I feel horrible when I've had too much sugar, and I've been getting the foot pain as well. But I've noticed in the past week or so, I'm not feeling bad anymore, and the foot pain is gone. I'm just finishing up a 5-pound tub I ordered and just got off the phone ordering more. I love your product. Thank you.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Jason Levesque with us right now, and an interesting story that we're going to talk about. I actually got a bunch of ink. He's the CEO of Argo Marketing of Maine, and this is kind of a situation where we're talking about role reversal. We're talking about an India-based company insourcing the call center jobs to the U.S. Can you imagine? And it's one you may be very familiar with. It's called iYogi. So think about your computer and the technical stops, and you know when you need help, etc. Sort of like the Norton, if you will, and some of the other companies that are out there. Jason, thanks for popping on with us.
Okay, thanks for having me today.
So explain how this all works, and this is huge because, you know, there's this outcry of made in America, and how come I'm calling someplace and they're someplace else and blah, blah, blah. So I would imagine that played a big role, a big part into what happened here.
Absolutely. I mean, iYogi was really, and it still is, forward thinking. And they realized that the majority of their 4 million customers were from the United States. And they wanted to have a more regional approach. So while their corporates in India and a lot of tech support and back operations are in India, they wanted their forward or front line of sales and tech support and customer service to be here in America, servicing American customers. So
yes,
that's what they did after kind of an exhaustive nationwide search.
Yeah, so when that happened, what were some of the, I can imagine, once the deal was cut, what was the you know, that had to be pretty exciting, because I remember reading a bunch about this. What was the initial reaction, especially to the people in Maine?
Oh, kind of shock and awe. They're like, wait a second, this doesn't happen.
Right.
And of course it doesn't happen here in little old Maine. But as I said, and the governor said, and the CEO and founder of iYogi stated, Maine is at the forefront of science, technology, engineering, mathematics. It's got a great work ethic, and it's a perfect alignment with what their core culture and values are in India. So it does make sense.
If for you, is this a start of something else you may see happen with other industries?
Yeah, I wouldn't say this is necessarily a start. I think it's part of the evolution.
Yeah,
and
there
I think
you go.
The more that we apply ourselves and the more we take risks and forget conventional wisdom, the more opportunities there are out there. I don't think anybody would ever imagine that we could be competitive with offshore call centers, whether it be in India or the Philippines or Dominican Republic. But we are, and they're good-paying, you know, hard-working jobs here in America, and the customers just they relate so well to that.
Yeah, and in seeing this happen, how do you work the kinks out with that? I mean, are there some? I mean, you got to obviously there's more to it with the technology, but is it pretty easy? Just boom, here we go, call center, just like any other call center?
No, absolutely not. I mean, I think the easiest part of this whole progression is getting the contract. The hardest part is going to be keeping it and servicing well. It is. I like to say that this isn't your grandmother's call center. We're a customer engagement, you know, center, basically, and we're communicating with customers in the medium that they choose, whether it be Facebook or text, chat, what have you, or traditionally telephone. So there's a lot of little nuances that we have to overcome, that we have to train our workforce to handle. It's a lot of challenges. There's obviously the cultural differences with dealing with our counterparts in India. They have 5 people on board and actually embedded here in Maine. And all 5 of those folks, it's their first time in America.
Wow.
So it's really fascinating. And it's great to see them play cricket in the Walmart parking lot under the lights at night. So it's, you know, we're having a great time, but there is some differences. And we've learned a lot from them, and frankly, I think they're going to be learning a lot from us, too. So it's a really nice partnership.
Yeah, you know, we're speaking with Jason Levesque, of course, from Argo. And when you said that, you know what immediately popped into my mind is Million Dollar Arm, that movie where agent searches out for the kids and gets them in India. And then the whole movie is about being immersed in the culture when they don't even know how to go up and down in an elevator because they've never seen an elevator. So what a fascinating thing to watch like I said, and you use the word evolution of that. With call centers, I mean, are we seeing that call centers are flourishing now, or where are we as far as call centers are in the business?
Yeah, don't quote me exactly on this, but the industry trend over the last 7 years has been a real big push towards American-based contact centers. So they've been growing in leaps and bounds in places you've never even thought of. Whereas the rest of the world is pretty stagnant for growth, America is leading the way. I think the last 3 years, over 50% of all contact center jobs worldwide have been developed in America. So it is a kind of a flourishing industry. And one of the reasons is it's just a big push of online purchasing. So many customers are going online to purchase something. They now expect to have customer support, whereas if they went to a brick-and-mortar retail operation, you know, you didn't really get customer support. Yeah, you returned something, sure, but you didn't get that loving, feeling, emotional connection to a company that you can now. So hence the need for more and more customer support operations here in the States.
Yeah, and this is a question I love to ask people who are at the top of their companies, et cetera. When you started out, is this where you thought you'd end up? How did you get here? What was your road?
Oh, that's winding and bumpy. No. And the short answer is no. I never expected this. I spent 8 years in the Army. I got out of the Army as a former infantryman and a drill sergeant. I literally was trained to do absolutely nothing in the civilian world.
Wow.
So I had to forge my own path, went back to college, and ended up working in a contact center part-time to make a little extra money to pay for school. And then I just kind of kept growing within that industry. So when I started Argo, we were actually a consultancy. We helped marketers, we helped retailers better organize their internal or third-party contact center environment. After 5 years of doing that fairly successfully. I received a call from someone saying, hey, are you a contact center? I need 20 seats to support my retail operation. And I absolutely lied and said, sure, yeah, 20 seats, we'll be up in 2 weeks. And we were up in 2 weeks, and that's kind of the start of the road, if you would, on this part of the journey. So I think we're in the end of a second act in a three-act play. We don't know what the third act's going to look like.
I love that. How hard is it to set up a call center?
Well, the technical aspect isn't hard at all. I mean, my technology today is you get a space, you buy the equipment, I guess that's capital,
right?
And you can actually build the contact center from the cloud. But a contact center is, well, it's just a bunch of cubicles, computers, and telephones and technology. It's the people that's the hardest thing. And I think, not unlike a lot of other businesses, the heart and soul of your organization, your culture, is the people that you have surround yourself with. That's the challenge. And we're still working at that. We're still grooming management and leadership and finding the best, most committed people in the area to work for us. And we've been at this since 2009. And it's not without its troubles, of course. But that is really what takes the most effort, time, and thought is building that team.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I know a lot about, well, a lot. I knowing people that have been in the call center business, some of the changes, and you're talking about that, some of the things that have morphed as a result of that. Even there's a suggestion of why not have, and you probably see this in your own demographics, why not have older people, retired people, people who are looking for something to do, who are mature, who can be taught whatever it is that the product is, work in some of these call centers. With your demographics, I would imagine technology may skew younger. What have you found or know? There isn't, you know, across the board, it could be whoever it is the right person.
No, that's actually a great point. And we have a lot of retirees, and they love the ability to, we're kind of a flexible schedule. I mean, we live in Maine. It's a beautiful state. Summers are kind of short. So they love the fact that they can work 20 hours or 15 hours a week during the summer and up into 25, 30 hours a week during the winter. And they can work early mornings. They can work overnight. They can work from their home. So we have a regional at-home capability where they could wake up in the morning, have some coffee, and, you know, take customer service calls from 5 till 8 and then check out for the rest of the day.
Yeah, is there a trend for more people working at home?
Oh, there is. There is a trend. I'm not a huge fan.
Right.
I like being able to see and work with my team, but our happy medium is that regional model. So you're coming into the office once every week to 2 weeks, sitting down with your managers and your team leads. You're getting worked with on training of new products and campaigns, coached and mentored, and then you go back home. So at least we're able to see and learn from the employee, and they can learn from us. So, and then they can work out of their house. So it's a very fine line you have to walk, but it's doable.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Jason Levesque, interesting stuff. He is, of course, the CEO of Argo Marketing in Maine. It was interesting talking about iYogi and just really the fascinating aspects of where this whole business is headed. Thanks, Jason, for popping on.
No, thanks, Kate. I appreciate it.
If you're worried about your health and you're tired of the nasty side effects of harsh drugs or antibiotics, then look no further. Supernatural Silver is the answer. Supernatural Silver is a powerful immune system enhancer that can be used every day to help keep you healthy and well with none of those nasty side effects. It's extremely safe for use internally as well as topically. And Supernatural Silver is hundreds of times more effective than colloidal or ionic silver. It is perfect for use in the sinuses, eyes, ears, and on any wound or skin issue. Supernatural Silver is also extremely effective when taken orally and can help fight off bacteria, viruses, and mold that may be overwhelming your immune system. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com. And use the promo code Silver. Over 2015 for 30% off of your entire order, and give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.